Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word this morning? Been waiting on it, right? Turn to, glory to God. Psalm 119. I feel like I have an assignment this morning. Don't feel like it, I'm sure I do. Psalm 119. Let's go to verse number 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart always unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in the way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Now here he says, make me to go in the path of your commandments, for that's what I delight in. I don't know about you, but I have one major desire in life, and really it overwhelms every other desire I have. That's to be in the perfect will of God. I don't care what it is. Well, I do care what it is. You know, I would rather, you know, have a ministry where there's temperature controlled, you know, buildings versus one that I'm out in the baking sun. But regardless of what it is, I want to be in the perfect will of God. I must be in the will of God. How about you? I delight being in the will of God. I don't care what it is. I have had jobs where I've cleaned out septic tanks, pulled toilets, scooped up floors full of thousands and thousands of little white worms. I mean, in messes, and had joy because I knew I was in the perfect will of God. Amen. And I've gone on trips, and I've been to vacation places, and I've, you know, experienced things the world would call fun. And it would be okay because it was a fun activity, but not like being in the perfect will of God. I would rather be in some area of hardship doing what God would have me do than at King's Island in a perfect day. Amen. Now, God lets you go to King's Island. I'm just saying, I want to be in the will of God. There's a path I delight in. And we've been finding out that to stay on God's path, in fact, we had a master's mind meeting a week ago, and in it we got to speaking about in our meetings, we're not establishing our own path, we're listening to God what we're to do. We have no agenda. We come to these meetings of business leaders, business owners, entrepreneurs. We do not establish a direction that we want to go every week or how we're going to run the meeting. We go in and we just hear God, and whatever conversation God starts forth, we get in that flow. And I went home, actually I stayed the night at Patty's parents to watch her dad. And at midnight, I was on my iPad and I came across, and God told me this year to start teaching on the path. Staying on the path. New Year's Eve, that's the message he gave me. Been teaching on it ever since. So at midnight, last Monday night after the meeting, I'm open my Facebook and there is Lance Wallnow, a prophetic business minister, speaking about, the title of his thing was about staying on the path. So it was a 33-minute video chat he had. I listened to it, and it confirmed everything we had talked about a few hours before in that meeting. Because we felt like we were blazing new trails, and he was coming for confirming the entire thing. That there, God has a path, but it's not going to be a logical flow of how to get from point A to point B. It's going to be following the Spirit of God. Amen. God's got a flow for us to stay in. You know, so many times, even in Christianity, we may hear God with a vision, if people do. But when we get a direction from God, we say, okay, I'm here. How can I best plot my course to get from point A where I'm at to point B where He wants me? We start trying to mentally calculate how to get into the end position God wants us in. And we know as logical people, God wants to take us from A to B in the shortest possible route. But that's not the way God operates. You know, when we build roads, we tend to build roads somewhat in a straight line. If you travel from Lexington to Louisville, I-64 is somewhat of a straight line. Now, there's curves in it. Do you know, it used to make me wonder, why did they put curves in the interstates? Why are the curves in the interstates? If I want to go, you know, from here to Kansas City, why couldn't they just build a straight road versus have curves? Did you know they put the curves in the interstate on purpose? The builders, designers thought that it would be too boring of a route and people would go to sleep if they built all the roads in a straight line. So they put the curves in on purpose. Amen. But basically, from Lexington to Louisville is somewhat of a straight line. Are we in agreement with that? But if you take, let's just say the Kentucky River, from Frankfort to Carrollton, by road, it may be Frankfort to Carrollton is about a little over 30-mile drive. I bet by river, it's over 100 miles. Because we're used to, you know, building roads, boom, here to here, but the rivers, let's just say that God built the rivers. Can we just point that out as a possibility that God designed the flow of the rivers? I know it's a natural phenomenon, but man didn't do it. And the river from Frankfort to Carrollton does this and meets the Ohio River. In other words, the flow of a river is not logical to get from A to B, but it still gets there. And God wants us to learn to take a path, but we're to be in a flow like a river. And it may not be a logical way that God takes you from one point to another. It may seem totally ridiculous, the decisions or the things God will have you do. But it will allow you to make a faith connection. And so God's raising up a people that can disconnect. I got to think how to say this properly. Disconnect from living by reason. And learn to flow by the leading of the Spirit of God. Reason. Listen, I'm an engineer. I'm a reasonable person. At least I believe I am. Engineers do everything they do by reason. We design everything by reason. But years ago, God showed me the kingdom of God is going to be unreasonable to the natural mind. And God's going to have you take shortcuts that are going to seem like the long route to the natural mind. And so, reason will take you into man's results. Flowing by the Spirit of God will take you into the supernatural. Shall I say that again? Reason will produce man's results. Being led of the Spirit will take you into the supernatural results of God. And sometimes you've got to learn to disconnect from reason and go into the flow of what God's telling you to do. Now, a lot of people declare that Christians are unreasonable people, especially faith Christians, they're unreasonable. And I want to just point out, I believe we're very reasonable. I made a big breakthrough in my walk with God when I recognized God was a predictable God. That His ways were unchanging. But He had a set of principles we could walk by that were higher than those of the natural realm. And if I wanted to walk in the ways of God that produced supernatural results, I had to elevate my thinking to follow His ways and at times disconnect from being bound by my ways. Did you follow that? It's not reasonable to tithe. No, it's faith to tithe. Now see, I believe it's a very good example. to most of the world, even a lot of Christianity, I believe now the latest numbers I've heard are 12% of the evangelical church tithes. Why would a Christian not tithe? Because reason says they can do more with the money for themselves than the church can do with the money for themselves. Are you following me on that? You believe you need the money more than the church does, or that God does, or that it won't produce any results. A faith Christian, or at least somebody that's got faith for tithing, really believes where God said He would open the windows of heaven for you and rebuke the devourer. So what happened is you didn't leave off reason being a tither. You elevated your reasoning to a higher level of connection. Tithing Christians have placed their reason on a spiritual promise, but it requires them disconnecting from a natural way of thinking. Did they quit being logical? No. I believe faith Christians are very logical. Amen. They just placed their hope on a Word of God versus a natural situation. When Pastor Lee was dying and we'd walk in there and say, he will live and not die. And the doctors are going, you don't understand, he's going to die. And his wife saying, no, he's not going to die, rebuking the doctors and nurses. He'll live. They think she's being unreasonable. She's illogical. She's not illogical. She's discovered there's a higher power, a higher way of connecting to that power, that if she'll stay connected, reason and logic that she's rewired to believe in the things of God, says she will see the results of God. So faith Christians are not unreasonable. Amen. We just recognize there's a higher source we can connect to with our reason and logic. Everything I do, I calculate. Amen. I calculate everything. And I calculate it'd be better to follow God than to follow me. I've calculated God gives better rewards than I can give myself. I've calculated if I'll do what God says, I'll see the results of God's promises. So I've calculated my best bet to win in life is to be sensitive to the voice of God and follow His leading. Because that's how I win. I've calculated if I will lay down my emotions and quit listening to fickle feelings and stand on the Word, I will see victory in my situations and relationships. Amen. That doesn't mean I'm not feeling. Doesn't mean I don't have emotions. Well, you know what they said to you? It doesn't matter. I'm going to walk in love. You see what I'm saying? You can disconnect from logical reasoning connections to natural thoughts, and you can disconnect from the emotional realm as well, reacting to what goes on around you. And choose to glorify God and praise God and rejoice in your situations as well. The point being is, the path God has for us will be winding. And it won't seem reasonable to the natural mind. Amen, but it will make faith. I don't know how many times Patty and I, we went for, my goodness, I would venture to say, well, I know. The first 15 years that we had quit our job and launched out to follow God in ministry, we were broke the entire time. I know we never had more. Usually, you know, there may be somebody gave us a check for a week or so, we had some money, but usually we never had more than $100 in the bank. A few hundred, you know, is get paid and we'd be paying stuff and wait for the next paycheck for 15 years. And it's not far beyond that now. And I could not tell you how many times in those 15 years God said, empty your accounts and give it all. I'd write a check. Patty said, what are you doing? I said, God told me to sow this. Told us to sow this. Okay. Boom. She said, well, you know, that's all we got. That's all He asked for. I don't know how many times we wrote checks to empty the account and had to make sure we got paid to pay the rest of the check we wrote. Didn't make sense. People say, you're crazy. No. I need a breakthrough. When my daughter was being kicked out of school, she was in her, I'm going into her senior year. And, in college. And we didn't have the money to pay the bill. My daughter's calling me saying, they say they're locking out my account, you know, in 2 weeks if you don't pay the school bill. I didn't have it. I didn't have it on a credit card. They wouldn't loan it to me. I didn't have anything. And I had that car. I'd spent 2 years restoring it. I rock Camaro. Not a great restoration, but at least it ran. And was presentable. Got all the dead mice out of it. Sat in the field for 2 years. Somebody gave me that car, and I spent 2 years on the side just fiddling, putting it back together and got it going, painted and everything, rust out of it. And I thought, I'll sell that car and pay that bill. I couldn't sell it. People come, I want to buy the car. I want the car. So bring me the money. And on a Tuesday night, Nasser Siddiqui preaching, so sew that car. I want you to sew that car. I said, God, I got a daughter who needs a school bill paid. They're kicking her out. And I've got like less than 2 weeks to pay the bill. He said, sew the car. I told Patty, she said, okay, we sewed it. Called the parents, agreed to sew it. And that was a Saturday night. We sewed it. I think it was Sunday, $5,000 came to the, $5,000 came to the church, $10,000 came to me on Monday. Our first ever $10,000 check somebody gave us. Paid her bill, paid off her credit card, paid everything. What happened? It wasn't reasonable. No, but it was obeying God. And that always produces better. Amen. Brought in double what the car would have. God's got a path for each of us. That you got to say, I'm going to get on that path and I'm not going to let any devil in hell knock me off of it. And it's going to be a faith path. It's not going to be a reason path with the world's, you know, based on the world's ideas. It's going to be one based on the Word of God. Trusting in the leading of God. Which means it's vital as an end time Christian. You know the voice of God. Not necessarily an audible voice, but down here, you know God's leading. These services, all this service, we've been leading them by God's leading. We had no agenda. I was about to start praise and worship, and I had felt, boom, no, don't start yet. And what happens? We have a whole flow comes out of it. And God wants to lead each of our lives like that. That you know what you're to do, what you're not to do. Amen? So there's a path that God has for us. And it's a great, great path. And so yesterday, I was in the Word. And not studying for this lesson. And in fact, I'm reading about Saul trying to kill David. And the Lord spoke to me. And I heard this, this dropped in me. On the pathway, there is no death. And the Lord started speaking to me, and we know this. But if we really get in the path God has for you, death cannot touch you. Now here's the gist of the message I want to bring forth this morning. In fact, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs. Proverbs 12. When I did a study on the path, I did a search. I typed in path. I didn't type in pathway. Wasn't even thinking pathway. And from nowhere, well, not from nowhere, from Godware, this verse dropped in me. Proverbs 12, have you got it? Verse 28. in the way of righteousness is life. Oh, glory to God. In learning the ways of God, learning your righteousness, there's a way that'll produce life for you, the fullness of life. And in the pathway thereof, there is no death. I believe if you get in the flow of God, especially in these end times, and you know who you are, you know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I believe there's a promise of God for you that you cannot be killed. You have a right not to die. Amen. Unless you're, you know, around 120, then you can choose to go, right? But then you choose, death can't touch you. Pastor Jonathan Anderson was in here in July, ministered to us about in the end times, death is going to be overpowered. But for this year, and I felt this was a word for this year, we've been a church now since 2001. This is our 15th year. We have never had an active member die. Find a church that can say that. We've never had an active member die. Amen, of any age. Enemies tried to take some of them, but he couldn't. But I felt the Lord want me to teach this morning, to inform you that the enemy cannot kill you, and to arm yourself against any attacks that would try to take you out. Do you follow me? And we see here the promise is, in the way of the righteous is life, in the pathway thereof there is no death. We have a right to live above death. Go to Psalms 118. We're going to teach you a confession this morning. Many of you already know this. I've been speaking this over my life for at least 20 years, especially in times when I've been under a major assault. Psalm 118, have you got it? Verse 17. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Let's read this together. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Now, who's that written for? Us. It's written for me. It's written for you. This is a verse that I believe is vital end time Christians learn to speak over their lives. It's a verse that Norval Hayes taught on, my goodness, years and years ago, wrote a book on it about how to overcome terminal illnesses. The Word of God is alive and powerful. Right? Full of power. It's the living, breathing Word of God. And if God said it, He's not a liar, He's not a man that He can lie. We have a promise that it's for us and we can see it come to pass. And what I want you to get a hold of this morning, I want you to get it down in you. Start working it now. That should an attack ever hit you. Amen. And we're not expecting it. But I've had things hit me that the enemy said you're going to die from. The time I felt like every organ in my body, this would have been 1992, every organ in my body was shutting down. I mean, prior to a Bobby Jean Merck meeting, even into it, I felt like I was going to die. The devil's screaming, I'm going to kill you now. And I'm going, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Guess what? The apostle came in and prayed for me. Within 15 minutes after he prayed, I'm back in service. I think more like 10 minutes. Where the devil said, I'm going to kill you. And there are times I don't receive sickness, but I've had hits where the enemy's hit me with stuff. Where there'd be a pain hit your chest. Devil said, you're having a major heart attack. Shut up, devil! My heart is strong and new. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. I couldn't guess how many times I've said that verse. When a hit, when an attack hit, to stand. Time I had a pain in my abdomen, and the devil said, it was a major pain hit, like boom. And the devil said, your appendix just burst, and you're about to die of peritonitis. I said, you stupid devil. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And besides, my appendix is not on this side, it's on this side. I've told you that one before, amen? Can you get the side right? I mentioned this has been probably a year or so ago. I laid down to sleep, and all of a sudden it felt like somebody took an iron rod. I mean, it felt like an iron rod about at least half an inch in diameter, and rammed it through my eye out the back of my head, and it was going whoom, whoom. Of course, I'm hearing you having a stroke, all this stuff, and you know, and I laid in bed there and said, I shall not die, and I'll live and declare the worst, probably for 45 minutes. Got up and prayed in tongues. Jesus' name, I'll live and not die. 45 minutes, it was gone. No more effects. The point is, the enemy would like to make you think he could kill you. And he may bring an attack to try to get you to agree with that he can kill you. But this verse will let you stand your ground against anything. Is anybody following this morning? I want you to learn how when something hits. So we've learned when a symptom hits to say, no, by his stripes I'm healed. Does anybody else say that? By his stripes I was healed. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Well, you've also got to learn when an attack hits and it looks like it's one that could take you out. I mean, it feels like it. Head pain, chest pain. Say, no, I shall not die. I shall not die. I love just saying it. I love just teasing the devil with it. I shall not die. But live and declare the works of the Lord. And I want us to embrace this promise as a church that in 2016, he can't kill anybody again this year. There's a covering over this church that protects you. But it really helps if you'll speak the word yourself. Because if you call me on the phone later going, I've got this pain, Pastor, I'm dying, I think I'm dying. Well, you don't have a hold of the verse yet. Call me for prayer, that's fine. But call me saying, I shall not die but live and declare the words of the Lord. Pray with me in agreement, Pastor. It really helps to get to speaking the word. Versus me take the first 10 minutes of the phone conversation where your heart's feeling like it's going to explode trying to convince you to change your confession. Amen. We had a testimony posted about service Thursday. God started having me call people out, pray for them for whatever. And I called, or one came up, I think she's came up, and prayed for her for arthritis and fibromyalgia. And she posted later that when she came up and got prayed for, every bit of pain left. Well, praise God. Amen. The devil tried to tell you that you had these debilitating, long-term, life-threatening diseases. We don't want to receive it. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I'm going to keep saying that this morning. I want it to become that you grab a hold of that, that it's this higher promise on the pathway we have a right to, that as a righteous, death cannot touch us. I'm serious. Last week when I had that spin around in the truck, I showed it to Patty this morning coming in. First, she seen where it was. Trees on every area except where I hit the bank. On down the road a little bit, a bank, straight off a rock wall. I hit, I believe, probably on the only place in that road that would not have been totally devastating to my vehicle and possibly me in the natural. Although there's some guardrails in some places. So probably a guardrail would have been okay as well, but I didn't hit a guardrail. I hit a bank. Amen. Bounced off. Went back last week, got the trim to my bumper, and I'm good to go. The point is when I started spinning at 50 miles an hour, going backwards, trees flying by, I actually started chuckling. People say, "Well, that adrenaline rush, you know, that fear, I didn't have any fear. Zero fear." I'm going, this could really mess up my truck. But I knew that God had me. So I laughingly said, "Jesus, this would be a great time for you to show up right now." I did. I'm pretty sure that's about the exact wording. "This would be a good time for you to show up." I was chuckling. And I'm going, "Jesus, thank you for your protection." About the time, boom, boom, and start the truck back up and drive down the road. Everything's fine. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Now, I know to some of you, this may sound monotonous, but others, it'll save your life. Let me ask you a question, just for those that may be new to this. How many here have ever had a major attack where it felt like it could be, and the devil's saying you're going to die, have ever spoken out that verse? Anybody? A couple of hands back in the back, here. I've had several times the devil say, "I'm going to kill you." But I have a word. I have a promise from God. We have a right not to succumb to his assaults. I shall not die. And again, that's the verse we spoke over. Pastor Lee, repeatedly, "He shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord." Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Let's get back to this pathway. We're going to start teaching line upon line through this proverb because it's a proverb about staying on the path with God. Amen? So start at verse 1. It says, "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding." Now when God says, "I need you to know instruction," he's talking about the leading he has for you, right? Plus the lessons he wants to teach you. See, to really be able to move deep into being led of the Spirit, your mind has to be renewed to the ways of the kingdom of God. We were speaking about logic a minute ago. But the truth is, for most people, if not for everybody, your mind will not make illogical decisions. It won't do it. Will not make illogical decisions. So to be able to move out in high, in deep realms with God, you've got to receive instruction of how the kingdom operates to do, which is illogical. Try and think of an example. Peter, when he stepped out on the water, that was not logical. Wasn't logical to step out on the water and try to walk on water. But guess what? He was watching somebody do it. He was watching Jesus do it. And he knew the power of Jesus' words. So he said, "Jesus, bid me and I'll walk on the water too. Tell me to walk on the water, I'll do it." So Jesus says, "Come." And Peter didn't do that, which was illogical. He had watched Jesus enough times do the miraculous, witnessing right then, that his logic was elevated to a place it could step out into the impossible. Pastor Philip, when he was in the Marshall Islands the first time, went to pray for a lady, and I think I have the story correct. Pray for a person who had leprosy, bad leprosy, whole side of their face eaten off. And he went to pray for him. God said, put your hand on it. You don't touch leprosy. That's illogical. That's nuts to the natural mind. Are you following me? But he witnessed enough of God's miracle power. He knew to obey God. So he slaps his hand into the mess. Closed his eyes and prayed. When he pulled his hand back, they were healed. Well, listen. He didn't do that, which was illogical for him, because it made sense to obey God. So the situations you've been in, where you've seen the supernatural power of God move because of faith, weren't that you were illogical. You just believed in a higher power. You believed in the Word of God that gave you a right to step out that far. Now here's the point. Your logic can only step into that which you've built faith for. Your soul can only step into that area of the Word that you built faith for. See, if God gives you instruction, but you don't have understanding of the promises regarding His protection in that area, or His blessing in that area, you're more prone to disobey Him. Your mind has to be renewed to the instruction of the Word. For example, many of you, the first time you heard about tithing, didn't do it. I'm not asking for a show of hands. But you heard somebody talk about giving 10% of your increase, and you went, that doesn't make any sense. So you may have gotten born again, but you heard about tithing, but you didn't do it. Until you received enough instruction on it. Maybe even heard enough testimonies about it. That your soul stepped up to the level it could identify with that promise. It was willing to step out, and all of a sudden now you started tithing. You know, again, I have to use myself in my testimonies repeatedly a lot, because you may get mad if I use your testimonies. But that time I had the migraines and God didn't tell me to do it. I was just determined to get victory. He probably placed it within me, but I wasn't hearing a voice. I just said, I've had enough of migraines. And when I started slamming my head on the dash, the steel dash, wham! I'm healed. That didn't make logic. That makes sense in the natural mind. But I'd so witnessed and so experienced and so confessed into my life God's promise of healing, it made sense to me at the moment. Amen. Stomping around with blown disc in my back, jumping up and down. Didn't make sense to the natural mind. They would have said, lay down, put ice on your back, let's fuse your discs together. That's what the doctors would have said. But faith said, no, I have a brand new back. But see, you can't just go that to that level without having instruction imparted to you. Does this make sense to you? That's why these church services are so vital, to receive instruction, how to move out in the power of God. How to get full of the anointing of God that will enable you to do it. So he says, hear the instruction of a father. And attend to no understanding. It's vital we learn how this kingdom functions. Because you cannot step out in faith and even obey God beyond what you can see. If you can't see it, I'm not talking about natural minds, your natural eyes, but you can't see it in your spiritual thinking, you won't do it. You won't do it. But instruction lets you see. Instruction paints a picture within your soul to recognize what can be done. by stepping out in faith. I've taught it in the past about Rhema bridges. Did you guys ever see the, it was a third Indiana Jones movie, The Temple of Doom? Just say you saw it long ago, you know, and you've repented since then and all that. If you're against movies, you know, I understand. But there's a scene in that movie. Anna Jones, he's following the instructions he was given to get to this chalice that he's after, right? And one of the instructions were that he'd step out on this by faith, you know, to cross this chasm. So he comes up and he's looking, and he comes out of a hole in the cliff, and he sees the hole on the other side of the cliff, this huge chasm, and it's 1,000 feet down. You guys remember this scene? And he's going like, I don't think so. But he brought to mind again the instruction, step out by faith. I don't remember the exact wording. So he closes his eyes and he steps out. And it turns out there was a bridge there, but it was shaded in fashion, created the illusion of a chasm. You remember that? There was a bridge there all the time. He just had to walk over it. Well, when you receive instruction of the Word and you get the Word down in you, it creates bridges between the chasms in your life that you can walk over by faith. But if you can't see that there's a bridge there in your mind, you won't step out. What did Indiana Jones do? I can't believe I'm teaching on the Temple of Doom this morning. What did he do? He closed his eyes. He quit looking at the natural. And he said, these instructions say that they'll carry me over. So he enabled himself to see that there's a way where there seems to be no way. And he took the step of faith out onto that bridge. What an example of stepping out on the Word of God. And the Word of God produces these bridges that you can walk over, these impossible situations over. But you can't do it as a casual Christian. You can't do it as just a, you know, pretender. It requires you really have gotten this Word in you to have something to step out upon. Amen. Verse 2. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake you not my law. For I was my Father's son. How many know that would be Jesus? That would also be us. I was my Father's son, tender, the only beloved in his sight, of my mother. Now, of course, the only beloved, a beloved is italicized, but that would indicate that it was probably Jesus because he was the first begotten, right? And the mother, many believe the Holy Spirit represents the mother, the one that broods over the waters. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. You have a right when you stay on the path that death cannot touch you. There just may be an occasion you may have to rebuke it. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy wisdom, get understanding. Now, let me pause right here. We're going to be looking at staying on the path. We're going to be looking at staying on the path, but you cannot stay on the path unless you've taken time to get wisdom and understanding. In fact, very quickly, I want to break down three topics that really work together we have to understand. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. That should flow in that order. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge is the possession of data. of facts or information. You memorize the entire Bible. You have knowledge of the Word, right? You may be able to quote the entire Bible. You have knowledge of the Word, but you may understand none of it. There are people that have memorized the entire Scriptures and not even understood that Jesus was Lord. Understanding is where all those different facets of knowledge start to interconnect and paint a picture that give you comprehension of how the things of the kingdom operate. Amen. So knowledge might be possession of knowledge of the Scriptures. Understanding would be knowledge of how to activate the principles of the kingdom. Understanding how the kingdom operates. See, an example would be, you may know that God's the healing God. That's knowledge. Understanding or knowing the five steps of faith to access that healing. Everybody remembers the five steps, right? What's step one? Come on now, you're getting there. What's step two? Revelation, meditation, activation, manifestation, restoration, right? How the kingdom operates by faith. That's understanding. Wisdom is knowing what to do when. In fact, wisdom, true wisdom, is not intellect. We think of, you know, in the natural, we think, your wisdom, you're so wise, you have such an intellect. That's not wisdom. That's just computational capacity. Wisdom is actually the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. Spirit of God. Get wisdom. Get understanding. True wisdom is to be led of the Spirit. Knowing what to activate and when to activate it. The problem is, you can't be led of the Spirit effectively beyond your knowledge and understanding levels. Because it won't be logical to step out on the bridges God would tell you to step on. You say, I'm not stepping off that cliff. Because you don't have enough understanding yet to move that direction. So he says, get wisdom, get understanding. Verse 6. Or no, verse 8. Verse 7. Let's read verse 7 again. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all that getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Embrace who? Wisdom, the Holy Ghost, the leading of the Holy Spirit. Embrace the leading of the Holy Spirit. Seek wisdom, seek understanding, but embrace being led of the Spirit. It says, she will bring you to honor, she'll promote you, verse 9. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory, should she deliver unto thee. Wisdom. Combined with knowledge and understanding is what's going to take us into the glory. A whole lot of people are right now declaring, all we have to know is that God loves us and God's going to bring us into the glory. He's going to bring His glory upon us. There's a whole lot more to it than that. Going into the glory is a faith excursion. It's a pioneering mission to go where no men have gone before. And it's going to take all the wisdom and knowledge and understanding you can get to step out where God will have a step out to go into that realm. Amen. I started to mention this a while ago. I don't know whether to mention it for the cameras or not. Patty and I finally saw War Room after renting it three times. Rented it twice and got too busy, couldn't see it, so the third time we finally got to see it. But I rented it and just kept it 3 days, I guess is what it was. And there were some good points in the movie. And I know some of you loved that movie and it spoke to you. That's good. I had some problems with it. From a positive standpoint, they demonstrated that if you refuse to do, you know, move out in anger and hate, instead choose to be a blessing, God can turn your relationships around. That's all about what we're teaching about in here about love. It's walk in love and let God take it. And giving your problems to God, giving your cares to Him, saying, God, I give it to you, totally scriptural. My concern was, it totally, for the most part, went around activating faith by the power of the Word. There were no verses ever quoted. Not in the prayer declaration. I wouldn't say in the whole movie, no verse. I'm talking about in that area to activate the power of God by faith. No one ever quoted a verse. You have no foundation, no platform without a verse to stand on. How many have seen War Room? So I'm not trying to pick on your favorite movie now. I like Woodlawn a whole lot better. And they mentioned church, but there was no evidence they went to church to get filled up. They had a church connection. And in fact, it was kind of painted like, it's no big deal if you go to church. And I believe the very opposite is true. God's commanding us many times to go to church. That's where our covering is. That's where our flow of anointing is in our lives. Amen? So it's kind of like they skirted around faith as far as speaking the Word and standing on it. And it's kind of, I guess what I didn't like is it's kind of a lot of the mindset today. You don't need church. You don't need to do that faith stuff. Just walk in love. Don't judge anybody and everything will work out. And it really doesn't work like that. You've got to stand some ground speaking Word. Amen. You'll need the Word to hold you anchored to the position you need. And to fight some devils to manifest it. I love the message of turning your life over to God and giving your cares over to Him. Vital message for us. But they left out the meat. How to really see those kind of victories. And so it was disappointing to me. I'd heard so many positive things about it that I wanted to see somebody really start unveiling the truths of the Word in these end times on how to win intercessory battles. I have not talked to him, but Pastor Philip saw it and was angry at it. I'm curious what he's angry. Probably the same things I didn't like, he didn't like. He was so irritated that everybody is so overwhelmed by how good that movie is. He set aside the entire month of January to teach intercession every night for the entire month that he's not having his regular services. So they normally have services Sunday night, Tuesday night, and Friday night. So they've said, Saturday night we're going to take off, but Monday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night we're teaching intercession, the entire church, to try to get across to people how intercession really works. It's more than getting in a closet and putting a list on the wall, trying to be nice. There's a speaking forth a word, the Word of God with authority. Amen. And God's got a path. He's teaching us to stay on. Some of you are still looking at me like, I can't believe you didn't like the movie. Praise God you were touched by the movie. I hope you were moved to pray. Get your prayer closet. I'm not attacking any of that. You just need the Word in there. There was never any opening of the Bible and say, God said this. What it was reasoning application, actually religion application to intercession. And I'm telling you, if you really try to do it like that in no word, the devil will eat your lunch. And they made it look like, oh yeah, I just tried to be nice. And God turned my whole family around. Oh. Without a word, He'll jerk the carpet out from under you. Is anybody following me this morning? I'm not trying to pick on your favorite movie. I'm just trying to say there's a realm beyond that. Father, seal the word in us. Cause us to rise and be end time people of victory. We believe we're in a flow of the Spirit and that this flow is going to take us into your glory. Increase our covenants. Increase your power upon us. In Jesus' name. Do we have our confession? Can we put our confession up real quick?